There's certain things you've just got to get out of the way. So I took my books and I put them in the church first. I don't want them to go anywhere. I got to protect the books first. And then when we were getting on the final days, I was trying to be very mindful of the important things and where they were. One of the things I was not so careful of was the charger for my laptop. So all my notes are handwritten this morning. It's like, well, you know what, I've got them, but nonetheless, we are excited to have that portion done. When we get everything relaxed, it'll be a lot better. But John chapter 12 and verse 2, John 12 verse 2, you kind of made me chuckle this morning. You're like, well, I didn't print this off. I don't have my cord, so I win. John chapter 12. Verse 2 says, There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what he was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Something I've often thought about is, you know, the Lord knew all along that something wasn't right with Judas. And when the disciples put pen to paper to write the Gospels, they found out about it at last. They might have had some suspicions, but it wasn't until Judas betrayed the Lord that really he showed his true colors. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew all along. He knew who he was. One of my favorite books that I have, one of my favorite tools that I have for Bible study is a book. It's called The Harmony of the Gospels. And you can go through a biblical account and see what other part and what chapter and verse it takes place in the other three Gospels. So if I'm looking for something in Matthew, I can see where that shows up, if anywhere, in the others. I absolutely love it. So I pulled that out and I looked at this because, again, it helps in study. In every other book where this is mentioned, it doesn't give anybody's names other than Mary's and the Lord Jesus, of course. It doesn't say anything about how Lazarus was in the room, and it certainly doesn't say the name of the disciple. But what I love about John is John didn't hold much back. John was in the details. If you really study the book of John, John had no problem telling you who said it, what they did, why they were there. I think John found the necessity in the details. And what we see here in the details is that Mary had a heart for worship. What we see here is a comparison between two different hearts sitting at the same very table. And we understand Judas, we understand his heart and his effort and what he was trying to accomplish. But when we look at Mary, we see something completely different. One of the sad things about our current culture, and when I say our culture, I mean among Baptist churches, is that worship is one of the most forgotten aspects of our lives. I can sit here and I can beat the pulpit about your reading and about your Bible study, but what of your worship? Now, worship comes from a heart that has a certain understanding, and we're going to go through those understandings this morning. But worship, you see, is not an emotion. There are places right now, they're tuning up their guitars, they're banging on their drums, they're doing everything they can to instill an emotion in the parishioners that are coming. Right, all the visitors, they want everyone to feel an emotion. Worship itself isn't an emotion. Worship causes emotions, and emotions can cause worship. But worship isn't an emotion. Which is why, later on when I challenge you, that you ought to worship whether you feel like it or not, you'll understand. Because there are those moments where the Lord's answering your prayers and all the boxes are in the house and the swing set's in the backyard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. we have those high top moments. We're on the top of the mountain. Everything's great. But that's not just for what worship is for. Reading through the book of Psalms, that's where I am in my Bible reading. So often, David had to praise the Lord while in a cave hiding for his life. There are things that David had written, attitudes that he had while his own children sought for his life. That's a hard... How do you worship the Lord when the hard things are there? See, worship isn't an emotion that kicks in and, okay, well, now I can tell the Lord how great he is. It's a responsibility that we have. And it can be fueled by certain things. Verse number 2 in what we're in our passage here. There they made a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Can I tell you what I know about Lazarus? Lazarus before this had been dead, right? He'd been dead. And here he is sat at the table. Now, what relation was he to the people who were having the dinner? That's their brother. That's their family. Mary is sitting here, and here's the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at her table, her long dead relative right over here. And what's her heart? I'm going to get the most expensive thing I probably own. I'm going to bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to anoint his feet. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to wash those feet with my hair. That was her heart. You see, in her remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, it brought so much out of her. You see, there's a lot of rumors that go on between the kind of lives Mary and Martha would have had. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of things that are put to them. But here's what I know about Mary. Mary, at one particular time, was a lost person. And the Lord Jesus Christ changed her life and changed her life and changed her life many a time. And even after this point, he changed things on her again. Just so much was done for Mary. So when she looked at him and when she thought about him, her heart no doubt overflowed with all of the things that the Lord had done. I've been on the recipient of a lot of great gifts, a lot of great help, a lot of great fellowship and friendship. And I tell you what, your heart just does something in those moments. Right? It almost kind of feels like it's going to burst. I know how cliche and silly that sounds, but it just does something to you when you know you're supported, when you know you're loved, when you think about all the things that God has done, when you think about the person that you could be, when you think about all the struggles that the Lord has brought you through, it ought to do something to you. One of the key aspects that go wrong first in worship is that we forget about what the Lord has done. Why? Because we're a lot like Peter. We don't think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ can walk on water. We don't think about the fact that he can raise people from the dead. We look at the waves, we look at the storm, and we sink. All we think about is the here and the now sometimes. We get caught up in our problems. We get caught up in our day-to-days. We get caught up between brake changes and gas fill-ups and reports that are due for work. We get all wrapped up in those things, and we forget about the great things God has given us. Some people, they get just too busy. They're too busy in their lives. They don't take the right opportunities to do things. And I've often said this, we have the same hours in our day, don't we? We do. And it's not until you actually look at how you use the hours in your day, you realize where you're wasting minutes. Right? You think about that. Well, I don't have time to do that. One of my jobs used to be to kind of just fix issues every now and then. I had to be sent over to a site that was having problems. And they're, well, we don't have time for that. All right, well, let's look at what you do have time for. Okay, well, we took 20 minutes just to talk and joke about this. Right? We did this, we did that. We're taking too many breaks. We're taking too long. You've had 5 smoke breaks this morning alone. That's probably where a lot of your time is being eaten up, right? So if I take the child of God, well, I really don't have time for worship. I really don't have time for it. If we had the proper view of God, we would make time for it. We would sit there, we would say, all right, I'm taking too much time here, too much time there. Maybe your problem is you sleep too late. Maybe your problem is you go to bed way too early. Maybe it's you spend too much time in front of the screens. Maybe you waste too much time just kind of sitting there staring out the window. Whatever it is, take time to remember what the Lord has done for you. I've said this so often in our prayer list, and it's important to me. I don't know how you guys do yours, but it's important to me that I put my eyes on all the things that God has answered. And not just for me, but for other people. There's a song, Greater Vision sings it. And it's a song called The Other Miracles. And one of the parts in the song, it talks about all the miracles that God has done for other people and how it affected the singer. We need to see the answered prayer for each other. We need to see the answered prayer in our lives. All the things that God has done. I so often I look at everything that's happened for us in the last couple months. None of that's us. Think about the greatest things you've ever done. That wasn't you either. I'll get missionaries, a lot more recently, I'll get messages and emails and phone calls and, hey, we need this and hey, we need that and hey, can you? All these things and a lot of the first things that they'll do when they call you is talk about all the great things their ministry is doing. Hey, and I led the mission to do this and I led the mission to do that and I'm going to stop you right there, brother. If you're leading the mission, there's nothing, I'm willing to end this phone call right now. Nobody does that anymore, brother. I date myself when I do that. Now, we used to do this. I made this illustration one time. I had a bunch of young people in our youth group. And I said, okay. Because I taught the adult Sunday school class. And I asked the adult Sunday school class, hey, can you just mind picking up a phone? Everybody in the adult Sunday school class, we did this. I asked some of the teenagers, hey, can you mind picking up a phone? Some of the young people in the room, they're looking at me going, why is that weird? The point I would make is this. You know, I don't want to talk. If it's you, I don't want to talk. If you're sitting saying the Lord's done this and the Lord's done that, then I'm willing, and then I'm interested to hear the rest. Then I'll maybe send you a questionnaire, then we'll talk a little bit. But if it's you, don't call me. Right? Because nothing I do is me. Right? I get to be a part of it. I get to put my hands into it. I get to put my mind into it, but it's always going to be, how would the Lord have this done? That's my motivation. It ought to be. So that later when the Lord does something great, we can step back and go praise Him. That's amazing. There are too many people out there writing way too many books about how amazing they are, right? In the ministry, I'll buy a book, it always breaks my heart. And I did this, and I did that, and I talk about all the amazing things that they've done. I didn't buy a book to hear about how great you are. It almost kind of makes me want to go to their house and get my money back. Not from the store, just to their house. And be like, listen, if you're gonna write this, just sign it for me too. Why don't you? I'll get a jersey, put your name on the back of it. What we do belongs to the Lord. Praising Him is so very important in your life. You will lose focus if you don't stop to praise the Lord. You will lose heart if you don't stop to praise the Lord. If you get confused as to who's really achieving those things in your life, you'll fall away from your steps with the Lord. You'll get too excited about yourself and completely forget the one you're following. She remembered her salvation. She remembered her daily grace, the relationship that she had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't it amaze you that you can at any time, day or night, reach out and talk to God the Father because of the sacrifice Jesus Christ made? That ought to astound you. That's just something I can do. I can reach out to Him and I can say, I've got this problem, I've got that. He'll be right there. We can't even trust ourselves to be that way. I'll find myself coming across something and I try to be helpful and I try to be good. And the best I can do sometimes, I still make mistakes. I either forget, I run out of time in the day, I didn't prioritize my time properly. Something happens and I'll feel like a complete and total failure. Right? That's just us. We have our weaknesses. We have our frailties. My Heavenly Father, He does not have those. And for His own glory, He has a care for my concerns. He gives us those daily graces. I thought about all those drives that we made it up here. We never had a trouble with a car. We never had a problem getting here. Well, we maybe one time got stuck in traffic. We still got here early. God was so good. Think about your trip in this morning. 1,000 different things could have gone wrong getting here, right? You didn't have to drive an hour and a half. You could drive 5 minutes and have a problem. Lord gave you the ability to get here. Think about some of your more recent illnesses. How you don't have that right now. You kind of take for granted being able to breathe clearly through your nose until you can't do it anymore. You never think about breathing until it's hard. God gives us daily grace. And we see that on top of the daily blessings, God also gives us the immense blessings, the Lazarus out of the tomb blessings, the being able to watch his miracles blessings, the time where you're struggling and you're frustrated and you're angry, and God gives you grace and peace and mercy in that situation and brings you out grateful, brings you out happy, those big things that he does. We have to remember those times. We see so often in the Old Testament when the children of Israel would come across something, or a prophet or a leader would come across something that the Lord had done, what would they build? They'd build an altar right there. What would be the purpose of that altar? To give glory and honor to God. And as a remembrance of what God had done. Hey, when you walk by that well, remember this. When you walk by this altar, remember that time this happened. The Jewish people in their cultures and in their practices, they had a lot of things set up from the Old Testament that would point to the Lord, that would point to the coming of Jesus Christ. Everything they did was to remember. Folks, you have to have things in your life to help you remember. If you do not remember, folks will forget. Again, it is our natural tendency to be selfish and to be short-sighted, especially when things get scary, right? When it seems like you're working the hardest, doesn't it seem like your vision kind of focuses just on that? It's hard to. I get frustrated. I'll be trying to do something. I love my kids, but they're just everywhere. Right? I'll be trying to do something and zoom, 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 7 or 8 times right in front of me. Okay. It's probably every Sunday morning. I'll just yell this in the house. All right, go find some place to sit down. And we do just all the little things in our lives are just running around. All right, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. And we tunnel down. That's how we get things done. We focus on those things. We completely forget about what the Lord has done. We become ungrateful. We become frustrated. We become dissatisfied. Why? Because we've got short memories. We have to remember the things that God has done for us in our past if we're going to have any comfort, faith, patience in the future. Right? The things that you've been through should have taught you patience. And if you're, okay, well, they didn't. Good. Look back at them. Keep looking at them. All the blessings. Pile them up. That old song, count your blessings. It works. It's not just a fun song to sing. Count those blessings. Remember how long it took for some of those blessings to show up. Remember what time they showed up and how grateful you were that they showed up at the right time. And all the things that God has done, and worship will be no problem at all. Each and every one of our lives have thousands of things we can point to and say, I'm so glad the Lord worked it out the way that he did. We see also in this that worship ought to reflect our love. Worship ought to reflect our love. If we look over at, forgive me here. If we look over at our script here, our scripture here, verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Our desire ought to be to bless the Father. Now, I don't think there's anything that I can do as a lowly sinner that would really bless him in the way that he blesses me. I don't think I could ever go that big. But I'm going to give him everything that I've got for it. And not just telling him how great he is and telling him thank you for all those things. The attitude in my actions ought to be to praise him. Right? When I get up in the pulpit, when I raise my kids, when I'm a husband in the house, when I'm just a church member, when I'm just a coworker, when I'm just the person who stopped to push somebody to the side of the road or change their tire, when I'm just whatever I'm just doing, I need to praise the Lord in it. I need to show some kind of a blessing to him in that. Right. Well, I'm in a bad mood today. All right, we'll change that around. You need to be a blessing to God today. We don't have time for that. Our lives need to reflect what God has done. Right? We always say, I want the Lord to see Jesus when they look at me. You got to be a blessing to the Lord in everything you do. That's where it comes in. In every effort, bless the Lord. We also see here that it needs to cost you a little bit. Worship should cost. It should. Now, cost comes in many ways. In this particular case, we're talking money. Worship costs money. Now, is it possible for me to worship in my giving? Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Here's the treasurer was the only one to amen me on that one. No, I'm kidding. But it's just, here, Lord, you've blessed me with all of this. Here's that. You know, Lord, you've taken care of every need that I had. And you know what? Here's a need that the church has. Here. No. And just pray. Thank you so much, Father. Again, the idea of sacrifice goes right out the window when it's about praising Him in our actions. Just, Lord, you know, here, thank you for here. I wouldn't have any of this were it not for you. How about this? The more valuable commodity, our time. Our time. I hear people, well, you know, I pray for a good 20 minutes and then I read my Bible for a good 20 minutes and then okay. I don't know if I necessarily put an egg timer on my worship. Egg timer on my Bible reading. Why? Because that's not the way it works. I think I've used this illustration before. If I called you and you heard a ding in the background, all right, brother, I got to let you go. Sister, I will talk to you later. You'd start to think there's something wrong with me. Maybe you already think there's something wrong with me, but it's ding. All right, well, I talked to so-and-so for 5 minutes today. Check. That's not a relationship, is it? That's delegating people to a to-do list. Don't delegate God to a to-do list. You give Him time. Right? Why is it that when Scripture they talk about the godly woman in Proverbs 31, it talks about how early she gets up? Because sometimes, folks, you gotta get up early to get the things done, right? Now, I'm talking to a group of people, you probably already get up early for your job. Many of you have retired and you still get up early, right? Look at some of you. Yeah, I still get up because you just don't stop. Right? The moment you start waking up at 11 o'clock is the moment you start dying. You keep up. Right? So you think about it. All right, if I'm going to get up early, I'm going to give this time to the Lord. And you know what? If it goes 5 minutes over, if it goes 15 minutes over, if the Lord really broke my heart during the reading today and I lost all track of time, praise Him for that. Hey, thank you so much for this time we can have together, Lord. Right? What we need to do is we need to take off our watches. We need to pull down the clocks when we go to pray. Don't sit there, look at the time going, all right, I need to pray for another 5 minutes so I can feel good about myself. That's not worship. Worship is no clock on the walls. Worship is, hey, this is the business I want to talk to God about today. Look, Lord, yesterday I was praying for this. Today I have that. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about this. We think about all these complaint departments that they have at a store. This didn't work, that didn't work, that's not right, I don't like this. You ever see somebody in the complaint department just to say how wonderful they thought their service was? We should put some investment into that. Father, thank you so much for this. And even if you think your needs are so heavy, still take a minute. Take some time to thank the Lord for everything that's working right. I've seen people that just everything's in pieces. Money's in pieces. Health is in pieces. Their family's in pieces. Stop to praise Him. Praise Him for what you have. All right, maybe it's just the fact that you've got time to fix it. Maybe it's the fact that you've got a heart to fix it. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord for something when you go to talk to Him. When Jesus gave us the model of what our prayer should be, what's the first thing that He put in there? Praising God. It's the first thing that ought to come in. Father, thank you for being so wonderful. Lord, you're amazing. You're grateful. We're so grateful for you. And again, make sure we're praising Him not just for the things that He's done for us, but praise Him for who He is. You ever stop and think about how the universe works? You ever stop and think about all the wonderful things that He does? It's hard when you've got a medical condition. But if you stop and you think about all the different ways that the body works and all the processes involved and how incredibly intelligent the Creator was that put it all together, God, you are so amazing in how you do these things and how you work this out. Praise Him. Bless Him. Let it cost you. Let it cost you your time. How about this? Let it cost you your effort. Let it cost you your effort. So many people, they're okay with religion as long as they don't have to do anything. As long as they don't have to do anything. Now, how do I put effort into it? Well, if the Lord works something out, do you tell him? Do you tell other people that the Lord worked things out? I got a text message from a coworker that I used to have. Hey, I saw your Facebook post, because I was, again, bragging. Hey, I saw your post. Everything okay? Oh, everything's amazing. You know, the Lord worked this move out. God called me to make this change, and I know it was a really big change, but He worked out every detail, down to the point to like the smallest of details. I wish I could come up with just one particular thing, but down to the small things. Hey, this is what's going to happen. Can I tell you this? We barely had to pay for a meal during this move. Between you folks taking care of me on a Sunday and people bringing food by, we barely had to pay for food. And half the time when food would show up, it'd be right after we were done working on something. Right, we had one person, and I'm not going to tell you their name because I don't want to embarrass them, but they know I'm grateful. We literally just closed the truck yesterday. And here's a whole bunch of food. There you go. That's the way the Lord works. Everything down to, so I'm just letting them have it. Now why? Because they deserve to know how good my God is. Well, what about the people that did the thing? I would hope that they did the thing because of the Lord. Isn't that why we do the things for each other? I love God, and because I love God and God loves me, that gives me a whole lot more love to love you. Here we go. Put effort into it. This is what God does. This is what God's done for me. Why do you go to church? Because I want to. That's where my God wants me to be. Why do you believe in God? Oh, let me tell you, this and this and this and this. I would be an idiot after all these things that have happened in my life for me to believe that anything else than God's taking care of me. Of all the things that I could be, all the things that could have happened, I've got this list right here. You cannot tell me that that all happened by accident. It just doesn't work out that way. I've often been told this, hey, you know, when it's the Lord's will, you'll know. And isn't that the case? When the Lord is moving you, when He is pushing you, it just kind of seems like all the doors fly open. Here's everything that could possibly be needed for that situation. Here's the words that you could possibly use. I think about this in the challenge of giving the gospel to people. Well, I'm not really good at scripture memorization. I'm not really good at talking to people. And all of a sudden you give it a try, and after two or three times, verses just start popping to your head and thoughts keep popping into your head. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, okay, say this, say this, say this, say this. Why? Because you put the effort in, and there's every need that you could ever have supplied. And then we look at that, we go, yes! This is the Lord working in me. This is what's happening here. So under my point here, our praise ought to bless Him. And we need to let it cost us. Let her see, use your hair. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody who does not have hair. I'm starting to notice. It's getting bad, guys. Not as bad as my brother. I saw a picture of my brother more recently. And again, it's back. I used to say that some people have, I have a receding hairline. My brother had a retreating hairline. At one particular point, his hairline is going to be AWOL. It's just gone. He's at the point right now where I would tell him if I'd see him, you just need to go with it, man. Just make it your own. But no, use your hair. You know what she did? She could have gotten a towel. She could have had somebody come into the house. She could have sold the oil. She could have had somebody come into the house, you know, a professional like foot masseuse or something to really do a good job. I thought about why her hair? That's kind of gross. Why the hair? Because in our praise, we should be humble. In our praise, we should be humble. And I think that's the point that's being used here, is that humility comes with it. I don't know if there's anybody who does musical specials in here. But I've known people that would get up and they would do musical specials. And the only time they would ever dress up for church is when they would come do a musical special. And they would do their hair just right so that they come do the special. And not to question anybody's heart, but have you ever seen somebody get up here and they sing the special and it more seems like it's about them than anything else. And I get completely distracted by them. And I've seen some people, they come and they do the musical special and they can barely get through it because it's a song of worship, it's a song of meaning to them. And to me, that does something better for my heart than somebody who can hit all the notes with crystal clear perfection. I would rather a song mess up just a little bit with a pure heart than for a song to get overblown out so we could sit there and clap for the person who's up their side. That's not why we do it. That's not why we ought to be doing things. She didn't, by using her hair, we see that she wasn't trying to look good. Her heart was a mess. She was just so excited, so thankful, so worshipful of the Father. Just, there you go. I'll take care of you. I'll wash your feet. Here's the best oil I've got in the whole house. Let me anoint your feet with this. Don't make it about you. It breaks my heart into so many pieces when I see people take what the Lord has given them and make it about them. Oh, let me tell you how good we are at business. Let me tell you how good we are at this. You know what? Let me tell you how I run my house. Let me tell you how I run my shop. You wouldn't have a dime without him. Yeah, we're really good at this. We're really good. You wouldn't have a note to sing if it weren't for the Lord. We need to remove our pride when it comes down to worship. We need to remove it. Another thing that we see in her using her hair is that we need to remove our reservations. Can I ask you this? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you this. Anybody here a little self-conscious about their singing voice? I'm going to put my hand up. I get self-conscious about it. You know what? I get real comfortable when I'm over here because there's nobody around me close enough to hear it. At least I don't think so. You get self-conscious. Is singing in church about you? No. Is it about your perception of your singing voice? No. Think of the songs that we sang this morning. Was it last morning? I barely could get up here. And I'll even tell you this. Brother Mark, don't get mad at me. When the song leader is up here and the song leader is moved, the congregation gets moved too. I have a buddy, he's song leading over at Flat Rock. And one of the first things that he picked up when he started song leading is the faces some people would make. He'd look out, he'd be leading the songs, and the songs would start to stir his heart. He'd look over, there'd be somebody checking their phone. You almost want to grab the songbook and... Or the most damaging is this. No noise. We're just holding on to the book for dear life, waiting for the song to be over. I'm going to tell you this, not just as your pastor, but as one who's going to sit in the congregation with you and sing, I don't care about the sound of your voice. I just want to hear it. And you know why I have that attitude? Because I firmly believe that that's the Lord's attitude. He wants your heart matched with those words, and he wants to hear it coming out of your mouth. There's another song that I love to hear. It's called God Wants to Hear You Sing. When Paul was sitting in the prison in the basement and he was beat, and he was tore up from a day of preaching and tore up from people wailing on him, do you think his voice was majestic? Do you think he had that deep vibrato? It probably didn't sound good at all, except for the Father who heard his broken heart, heard the excitement in there as well. Oh, you know what? We're glad, so glad to suffer for him. That's music to the Father's ears. Well, you know what? I have a hard time praying. I tell you what, if you have a hard time praying in public, think about how great God is. I'm there. I have issues with my speech sometimes. I have issues with what's happening here matching what's happening right here. I have that problem too. You know what we do? We think about how great God is. And guess what? It's going to flow. Now you won't be perfect. Right? But God didn't call you to be a poet. Right? We're not trying to read poetry in the middle of church. We're trying to talk to the Father. You can't fool him. He knows how you think. He knows what's in your heart. Don't try. Oh, I'm not eloquent enough. He knows you're not eloquent. Don't worry. He just wants to hear you. Amen. Remove your reservations. Sing to the Father. Tell him how great he is. I've often stumbled to find the right words for gratitude. Because to me, thank you seems so cheap nowadays, doesn't it? You'll be driving out of a drive-thru for a fast food. Thank you. You don't care I was there. You just... You just care you've got my money. You don't care. Come again? Yeah, I bet you want me to come again. Thank you just seems so cheap nowadays. Really put thought into what God has done to you, done for you. Really put thought into his timing, into his wisdom, and all the prayers he's answered. And the words will come in there. I love this, that the Father is even able to interpret the groanings of our hearts. We were packing up. Was it Friday or Saturday? I can't remember what day we were packing up. Somebody came over and they asked me a question. Matt, where do you want this to go? And I'm like, I couldn't find the word. I have this problem every now and then where nouns just go. I can't box. It just wasn't coming. Danielle came in. He wants it to go over here. Here you go. I've often found the Lord to be like that. There are nights I'll be sitting there. And I'll be like, there's things I want to say to the Lord, and I don't have the words for him. I'm so glad he knows what's happening right here. Sometimes I'll just I'm like, Lord, I can't put this into words, but you know what's happening right here. I'm so thankful you're there and you can tell. Have those moments with him. Worship is valuable. Worship is important. If you don't put it in your life, it's not going to happen organically. You have to put it there. You have to make time for it. What's the proper time to start? No. What's the proper things to praise him for? That's the first question you ask. Get yourself a list of things to praise him for. Get yourself a list of answered prayers. And you just have one time of prayer. Father, I don't want to talk about anything that I need. I don't want to talk about any concerns that I have. I just want to talk about how great you are. There was this person in our church and they asked us to pray for this matter right here. And Lord, it didn't take but 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And all of a sudden you answered it. Father, thank you so much. Lord, we've been praying for this to happen. And it happened and we're so grateful for it. I never would have thought this person would have got saved. But Lord, you did it. And now they're a member of the church. And that's so wonderful. I'm so thankful to you. You just spend the whole time doing that. Praise him. Tell him how wonderful he is. Because I'll tell you what, the devil's doing a really good job of stirring up frustration in this world, isn't he? Just doing everything he can to distract and frustrate and upset us. All the things happening on the news. Yeah, I mean, you can't even drive down the road anymore without getting angry at some of the billboard signs that you see. Just the blazonness of sin. The devil wants you distracted. Keep your eyes on the Lord and what he has done. Keep your eyes on it. Don't get distracted. Focus on the fact that the Lord is still working. Because that's what he wants you to forget. He wants you to forget God. Well, I'll never forget God, brother. No. He wants you to forget God on your way to work tomorrow. He wants you to forget God when you're watching the ball game. He wants you to forget God while you're out there mowing your lawn. He wants you to forget God in the small things. He wants you to do everything you are, everything you've got to do in your own power, in your own strength, and for your own glory. That's what he wants. That's where we struggle. I could go the rest of my life, and if the Lord keeps my mind, never forget about him. It's forgetting him in the small things that's the problem. I'll always know he's there, but do I act like he's always there? Do I thank him when the things work out the way that they're supposed to? Now, how about this, and we'll close with that. The purpose of worship. And again, the Lord makes it clear. I don't know why I'm closing this thing. Verse 8, for the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. The purpose of worship is who? It's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's the purpose. That's the reason for worship. Because he deserves it. Much more and much better than from people like us. But look at old Judas. Verse 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Oh, Judas, he was so smart, wasn't he? Oh, he had such great ideas? No. Judas's heart is he wanted that money so he could get a little piece of it. But we see so often, well, I don't understand why we've got to do this. I don't understand that. We get frustrated on things. Now, if we look at John's account, do you think John was moved by this? Oh, John told you what? He told you how? He told you the bit about Lazarus being there? John got it. Everything that happened in this room, John got it. Judas was there. He didn't get it. What was the difference? Distance from the Lord. Distance from the Lord. Without worship, without remembering, you will have frustration. You ever get frustrated at life? I get frustrated at things so simple and trivial sometimes. Just in the hurry of trying to get kids out the door, you get frustrated. Now, where are my shoes? Right? It's your shoes, your shoes, your shoes, your shoes. Kids will have all of their coats on. I still haven't picked a tie out. I walked out the door this morning. I scared Danielle. I keep my shoes up here because, snow and everything. I didn't want to get them all nasty. So I keep my shoes in there. So this morning, the only thing I could find to slip on real fast, because I'm having a little hard time bending over, were a pair of sandals. I put a pair of sandals on. I walked out the door. She saw me walking into the church. She goes, But yeah, those of us, where are my shoes? Where's this? All the traffic's like this. I can't believe it. And then you look back at that, you go, you idiot. Why do we get frustrated? Because we got our eyes on the wrong things. Why are our eyes on the wrong things? Because we're not paying attention to the right things. You purposely have to choose what you're focusing on. Or else your brain will do all sorts of weird stuff. Oh, I get mad about that. I'm getting mad about this. We get so hot and divided while we're driving in the car, while we're doing that, while we're doing this. No, stop focusing on the wrong things. Get your eyes on the Lord. If you have a heart of gratefulness, it'll get rid of the frustration. It'll help with the complacency. It'll keep you on fire. Right? Showing the gratitude. Well, I don't always feel like it. It's not an emotion. Worship first, the emotion will come. All right, and if you have the emotion, go ahead and worship Him. But don't worry about emotions. Emotions don't make decisions. They're terrible drivers. Right? We worship anyway. Worship. Focus on the Father. Tell Him how good He is. And let's do that now. Heavenly Father,